Thanks very much, Peter. Thank you, everyone, for being here tonight. It's great to see everyone who's came out to sing God's praises, fellowship of his people, and also to read his word together. Now, we're going to read 2 Samuel 22, 51 verses in 2 Samuel 22. I thought, should we read it all? So I time myself. It takes 5 minutes and 5 seconds, give or take a bit. But maybe you've done it already this afternoon, so you know that already. That's how long it takes. 2 Samuel 22. And David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Saviour, you save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompass me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I called. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry came to his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations of the heavens trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He was seen on the wings of the wind. He made darkness around him his canopy. Thick clouds a gathering of water. Out of the brightness before him, coals of fire flamed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and rooted them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, the foundations of the world were laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and from his statutes I did not turn aside. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from guilt. And the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. With the merciful you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man you show yourself blameless. With the purified you deal purely. And with the crooked you make yourself seem tortuous. You save a humble person, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. For you are a lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? This God is my strong refuge and has made my way blameless. He has made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your gentleness made me great. You gave a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and destroyed them, and did not turn back until they were consumed. I consumed them, I thrust them through, so they did not rise, they fell under my feet. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me, those who hated me, and I destroyed them. They looked, but there was none to save. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer them. I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth. I crushed them and stamped them down like the mire of the streets. You delivered me from strife with my people. You kept me as the head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me. Foreigners came cringing to me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be my God, the rock of my salvation, the God who gave me vengeance and brought down peoples under me, who brought me out from my enemies. You exalted me above those who rose against me. You delivered me from men of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring for ever. Amen. May God bless that reading of his word to us. It is, of course, as we've seen, a song of David. And it is getting near to the end of David's life. Chapter 23 records for us the last words of David, but chapter 22 records for us this song. And it is a song, as we've seen, a song of to the Lord. So when it says in verse 1 that David is delivered from the hand of all his enemies on that day, well, we think the term day there really is not, it's just there was one 24-hour period when God delivered David from all his enemies. We've read through the book of Samuel, haven't we? And we've continually seen David's enemies come up against him from within his family, from within his nation, and even outside of the nation. And so it's coming towards the end of David's life. And he is able to look back, on all his experience and the difficulties faced. And he comes and he sings a song. Now he sings a song. The song's structured. Well, that's not working, so that's not good, is it? Happens if I turn it on. And no, it is. There we go. So the song is structured like this, as I see. It works in a sort of ABC CBA, for those who have sort of looked at the Psalms and seen some structure in the Psalms like that. That David praises God's deliverance. We see that at the beginning and the end of the psalm. In the second section, as we'll look at, he describes God's deliverance, but purely, as it were, from what God has done. What God has done. Then he looks at God's dealings in deliverance in that third section, particular to himself. The fourth section, God's dealings in deliverance, then are principles of deliverance for all people. The fifth section, God's deliverance, again described, but this time with David in it and what God has done through David. So there's a different emphasis each time. And then finally, coming back, praising God's deliverance. And as many of you know, maybe all of you know, this structure is common in some of the Psalms. So it's not too surprising for you to know, or many of you will know already, that what we've read tonight is basically Psalm 18. If we were to turn to Psalm 18, and you can feel free at any time to turn back, you will virtually see that 2 Samuel 22 is repeated word for word virtually in Psalm 18. So this song of David was placed into the songbook of Israel, for them to sing about God's deliverance. And of course, it always is that the people of God should sing. The people of God should sing, especially of God's deliverance, of God's salvation. You remember the first song in the Bible? The very first song that we have recorded in the Bible is in Exodus chapter 15. That the people of God have been delivered out of their bondage and slavery in Egypt. When they're in Egypt, all there was sighing and there was groaning. But then God saves them and God delivers them. And then there is a great song. Israel also sang a song. God supplies them of water, Numbers 21. They sing a song in the book of Judges as well, as they experience great victory. And really the songs are returning, coming back to God, singing about God and singing about God's great salvation. Of course, that should be a mark of the Lord's people, shouldn't it? The sacrifice of our lips, we are told in the book of Hebrews, is something that we should offer, all of us, back to God, if we have known and are knowing God's salvation, the deliverance of God. I was thinking, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ himself commented, remember when he healed the 10 lepers? He healed them, they went off, and how many returned with thanksgiving? There was one. And the Lord said, and even that one was a Samaritan. And he commended that one who returned, because he returned with thanksgiving. Others had experienced the Lord's dealings in their life, but they didn't return to him. What is interesting, I think, in this first section particularly, is this. We're not going to look at every line tonight. We don't have the time to do that, of course. But what is particular, and what struck me in these first three verses, is continually the word my. You see what David says continually? My rock, my fortress, my deliverer. He could have said, the Lord is a rock, the Lord is a fortress, the Lord is a deliverer. All that would have been true, wouldn't it? That would have been absolutely true. But it's more than that, isn't it? David's experience of God was a personal experience. And now he could say, I have known God in my life working. I have seen, as I look through all the years of my life, the saving work of God in my life. And this is what God is for me personally. Not just the knowledge about God, as great as that is, as important as that is, for us to know about God, but us to know, each of us individually, in our life, the working of God. So as we go on in our years, and some of us have been along the Christian path many years now, that we too could sing a song of our own. Now, if I was to write a song, it wouldn't be a very good song. And if I sung it, it would be even worse. I know that. But I should be able to sing, and you, if you have been on that Christian pathway for many years, should be able to sing a song or to say something about God's work in your life. Yes, to speak about God, but for me to be like David and to say, my rock, my refuge, my stronghold, my saviour. I remember many years ago, and our dear brother Arthur Pollard was standing here, it was on a Wednesday night. And I don't know how long ago, it was such a long time ago. But there was one thing, I've no idea, I can't remember the text he spoke on that night. But one thing that stuck with me as he spoke, he said something like this, how sad it was to visit someone who had been on the Christian path many, many years, yet they couldn't say anything, or didn't say anything, about the work of God in their own life, except an initial prayer of profession of faith. And I thought about that. And it struck me again as I read these words of David, his personal relationship with God, not just something abstract and purely theoretical, but something he could say was a deep friendship that he had of the God of this world. And it caused me to reflect again, and I trust it does you by application as well. How is God with you and this relationship that you have with him? David could say that God was worthy of his full confidence. No matter how critical his circumstances were, how devastating and distressful they were, and we could think of David, can't we? How he had to flee for his life. A few times in his life, didn't he? Actually had to flee for his life. His life was under physical threat. And the king, the one who had been anointed king, was living in a cave in a desert. And the king, who should have been showing kindness to him, pursued him for his life. And then his own son pursues him as well, we remember. But this is what David could say in all of this, as he looked back, that God was a saviour. God was a refuge to him and a shield. Jesus explodes, doesn't he, in praise. We don't know the occasion, you know, where you think, where was David when he was writing this psalm? We don't know. You imagine it was a sort of little bit of a quieter day in life at that time that enabled him to write this down. But to reflect on the goodness of God and the delivering hand of God, all that God is able to do. And the great lesson that comes through this tonight, as we're going to look through this as we venture through, is the very same God that David could speak about is the very same God whom you have and I have a relationship with as well. That God is an unchanging God, as we've thought about in recent days as well. And we too can experience victory, deliverance. We have, obviously, if we've professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, know indeed that we are saved from the penalty of our sin. That will never be brought against us. But if that is true in our life, if that is true in my life, then I should be continually having victories over the power of sin in my life. Our enemies now are not like the enemies that David had. We think of his physical enemies, those who chased him and went after his life. But there are enemies for us, don't they? As the Word of God tells us. They boil down into three categories. The world that stands against everything that is of Christ. The devil that stands against everything that is Christ. And our flesh, in which there dwells no good thing. That unredeemed humanness that is against us. And so I know that day by day, year by year, many of you, all of you, I hope, myself as well, are experiencing the power of God in delivering us, having victory over sin in our life. That we weren't what we were a few years ago, because the power of God is working, we are becoming more Christ-like. We've recognised where there is sin, where there is potential to sin in our life. And we've cried out to the Lord because we know there's a weakness in us. And we can't have any victory, can't have any deliverance, lest it comes from God. And we're concerned about that, aren't we? You know, we might be a person who got angry easily. We pray about that. We might be a person who is impatient. We pray about that. We might have recognized in ourselves a person who is prone to gossip. We pray about that. We might be a person who has been sorely tempted, even ventured into, to look at things that we shouldn't have looked upon. And we pray about that. And we experience God's deliverance from the power of sin in our lives. And the only way we can experience deliverance from that power is through God's working in our life. And David has prayed to God about that, and he has experienced the deliverance of God. See, David, as we move on, he describes his deliverance, and he describes in verses 4 to 7 his great distress. And he says, in those times of distress, what does he do? I call upon the Lord. I call upon the Lord. He can recall the attempts made by Saul, made by Absalom, made by Absalom, and all those times of great distress. And it was no exaggeration. You remember how it was when he said to Jonathan, Jonathan didn't quite get how dangerous it was, and he said to Jonathan, there is but a step between me and death. And he was right. But David knew that God would hear the prayer of his people. And he says, I can confidently call upon him. The same God who David called upon, he could remember how God had answered the prayers of his people in the past. He could remember how it was. I was thinking of just a few ones just to bring before us this same God. In Exodus, you remember this, of course. You know, how God spoke to Moses and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. God heard their cry and delivered his people from Egypt. You remember how Jonah, we thought of Jonah a month or so ago, didn't we? And Jonah prays unto the Lord and God delivers him. And then I ultimately had to think of one who prayed. One who prayed a lot. Our Lord Jesus. And Hebrews 5:7 says this, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who is able to save him from death, deliver him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. So Jesus prayed to God to be saved, to be delivered from death. And of course we know that prayer was answered in his resurrection. Death did not hold him. And so they cried to God. The Lord cries to God and he is delivered. And there was one final one I wanted to bring before you as well. And that was the Apostle Paul as well, just as an example. And you'll remember how he describes a thorn in the flesh. Now, different people think that's different things, so we're not going to go into that. But he prays to God. And God doesn't take that thorn, whatever or whoever that was, away. But God does answer his prayer that Paul would be saved from discouragement and distress. And he says this, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So how is Paul delivered? Well, Paul was delivered from despair and discouragement because God gave him the needed grace at the needed time for that trial that he was in. And many of people here have experienced this. It's not that God will deliver you out and into comfort in the way you might imagine it might be. But when we pray to God in our times of distress, in our times of discouragement, it's not that the situation changes or the circumstance change, but God gives the grace to cope with the needed situation at that time. And many of you can bear testimony to that in your lives. And so when we think of that, we are urged, aren't we? We are encouraged, all of us, in whatever situation we find ourselves in. And we need the Lord. We can call upon him, and in his way, we know he will answer our prayer. That's why Hebrews says, doesn't it? 10:22. Let us draw near. Let us draw near. With a true heart, sincerity, in full assurance of faith, a confidence. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, that's reliance upon Christ, and our bodies washed with pure water. So David says he calls in his deep distress. And friends, the encouragement from Scripture for us is tonight. Whatever might be against us, wherever situation we might find ourselves in, whatever pattern of sin we might be struggling with, is to pray and trust in God. And He will give the power. There's no temptation, I was thinking. We often remember that verse. That has overtaken you, then that's that which is common to man. I think I've misquoted that, but there we go. But we get the idea, don't we? That God is able to deliver. He is a strong, powerful God. Friends, let us avail ourselves of prayer and come to Him. In verses 8 to 20, the rest of this section, David uses language, and I'm sure if you've read this already, or even if we just read this tonight, you think of the things as we go through here, and you think, well, I don't recall reading these things of David in his life. I don't really recall any situation like this, where, let's say, verse 14, he thunders from heaven, and the Most High sends arrows down and scatters them. He draws him out of many waters. And things like this, as we've read through David's life, we don't seem to see these things, do we? I mean, David could have used just a few words, couldn't he? Some of us are people of few words in writing. David could, I prayed to the Lord and He delivered me. That would be true. But what David is doing here, I'm going to submit, is this. That he is drawing from his knowledge of God's deliverance through the ages. Through the ages. So we think of God speaking to his people, say Mount Sinai. So verse 14, that's what we think of there, don't we? The Lord thundering from heaven, the Most High uttered his voice, of God giving his word at Mount Sinai. Verse 16, the channels of the sea were seen, the foundations of the world were laid bare. That's all like the parting of the Red Sea, isn't it? We think of that. We don't really think of anything in David's life where that happened. And the other expressions of God's power are similar to that as well. There's just a few. And what David is doing, I would submit, is this, that he is looking to how God is a powerful working God, and the very same God who has worked in the past in wonderful ways can indeed work in his life, that same God as well. The God who has worked delivering his people, that who has shown his salvation, can do the same today for his people. He is the same. He is unchanging. He is still all powerful. He is still the enemy defeating God. So friends, the God whom we pray to, the God who we say, we ask him to deliver us, save us from sinful patterns in life, whatever we might be experiencing, is that same God who parted the Red Sea. The same God who uttered at Sinai. The same God who stopped, it was the sun in the Joshua's day as well. That seems to be what David is speaking of there, of the description of God's working. But then, in the third section, he speaks about not describing God's deliverance, but God's dealings in deliverance. Verses 20 through to 25. Book ended, particularly in verse 21 and 25, are almost the same, aren't they? The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. That's verse 21. Verse 25 is very similar. And when we read that, there's probably in your mind, the first time you read it, and maybe the second, third and fourth time as well, a question. Because we're saying here, well, the Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. Verse 24, I was blameless before him. You think, well, David, we have read the account of Bathsheba. We have also read the account of Uriah. So we're finding this rather difficult to understand. Because, yes, God is graceful, but what is this you're telling us, David? some sort of works-based righteousness that you did this and God rewarded you? And are we forgetful of that sin? Are you forgetting those things you committed, David? So we ask those questions, don't we? I'm sure you ask those questions as well. But these declarations, what we see here is David speaks in this little section. As he speaks what God has done, his saving work, it is regard to this. It doesn't have anything, I'm going to say, with his justification before God, but it's to do with the innocence of his conduct to his enemies. It is all to do, I'll say again, with the innocence of his conduct towards his enemies. What we are seeing here is David praising God. For although David was in a sore situation, though David was in a distressing one and his enemies were upon him, and he really was in danger and distress, he acted blameless towards them. His hands were clean with regard to how he acted towards them. You remember with Thor already, Saul pursued him, didn't he? Saul wanted him dead. But how did David act in the cave there? And his people with him, his soldiers with him, his friends with him were saying, well, now's your chance, David. Now's the chance. But David said no. He's really, what's he saying in verse 23? God's rules, God's laws were before me. And he didn't harm Saul. You remember what he said? The Lord forbid that I should put out my hand against the Lord's anointed. So though his enemies came against him, he would not sin. He would not return in kind like they were to him. Thus, he says, I was blameless in my ways. You remember how Absalom's rebellion, the son against him? But we remember as well how David cried, didn't he? Real tears when Absalom, the report of Absalom's death came as well. And so I think what we see here then is David saying how he was before God, and God delivered him, and he trusted in God at those times, and he didn't respond as other people might thought he would have done as well. He didn't do anything to provoke the attacks. He didn't do anything that deserved the attacks. And he contrasts his righteousness with the unrighteousness of his enemies. And when we think of that, we can't help but think surely of his greater son, the Lord Jesus. You know, he could say to his enemies, couldn't he, who stood against him, John 8:46, which of you convicts me of sin? The whole of the rule and, well, virtually all the religious hierarchy were against him. The scribes, the Pharisees, which of you convicts me of sin? On the cross, remember that first prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross? Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. And so it is, friends. We have in our world those who will be against the Christian. Those who might be against you individually because you are a Christian. At school, the workplace, even in the family you're in. How are we to act? We're to pray to God that deliver us from any sinful behaviour. Remember the words that Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 23. He says, for what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in turn. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. And Peter says, there's the example for us. There's the example for us when people are against us. When there's hostility to the Christian. When there's hostility to the church. Do not revile in return. Do not threaten, but continue entrusting yourself to the one who judges rightly. So David then moves on. How God has worked in his life dealings in deliverance to then some general principles, verse 26 to 29. He says, the merciful you are merciful to, the blameless you are blameless to. And we remember, as we've thought already, that David was merciful to Saul, spared his life on at least two occasions. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's what our Lord Jesus said, didn't he? Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. He was blameless in his motives, was David. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, the Lord Jesus Christ, went out to say. David does say, look at verse 27 please. With the crooked you make yourself seem tortuous. What does this mean? He says this, here's a principle. That to those who are rebellious and devious against God, then God will not make his way clear to them. You make yourself seem tortuous. But to the humble, you are a saving God, verse 28. To the prideful, you will bring them down. And it just reminds us of the words that we see in Luke 18, doesn't it, and elsewhere. For everyone, the Lord could say at the end of that parable between the Pharisee and the publican, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. And so the instruction that David brings us, that God brings us, is for us to be a merciful people. For us to be blameless in our ways before people. For us to be a humble people as well. And the amazing truth is this, isn't it, before we move on from this section, that we can only be merciful. We can only be blameless. We can only be humble with God's grace in our lives, because we would not be that of ourselves. I would not be that of myself. But with God's grace working in my life, I can be that. As we move on, David now describes again the deliverance of God, the saving work of God. But this time it's not just God, as we've seen in the second section, but in our fifth section here, we see what God is doing through David. So it's not mere repetition. And David is very keen for us to understand that it is God who equips him. It is God who equips him with strength to make his way blameless, is what we see. And he starts off by saying how God is a lamp to him as well. That God enlightens him, verse 29 there. You are a lamp, O Lord. In the great depths of darkness where David was, he needed light. He needed someone to show the way. And who would do that? It would be God. God revealed his will to David. Saul made his own decisions. But David was a man who had God's will revealed to him. And it reminds us, doesn't it, that in times of distress for us, in times of difficulty where we find ourselves in, where do we go for help? Where do we go for clarity? Where do we go for instruction? Where do we go for comfort? Where do we go for light? To shine in our darkness. Well, the psalm tells us, doesn't it? 119. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So friends, as in all times, to read the Word of God. But to look at it, not just to merely learn the words of it, but to understand that God speaks to us through His Word. To take His Word in our daily lives. And for us to be committed to it in all that we face. And prayerfully listen. You know, we stand, don't we? In this way, in a far better way than David's did. We have in our hands the completed revelation of God, the canon of Scripture. And we are able to read it. And God can work powerfully through His Word. Will work powerfully through His Word. To give us light in our troubles. To give us light in our difficulties. To not necessarily take us out of the situation, but to give us the needed grace through His Word and the strength to carry on through His Word. The endurance that we need to live for Him in this world. In our battles against the world, the devil and the flesh. God gives light. And that light is through His Word. If our Bibles remain closed from Sunday to Sunday, then we're not really going to see the light, are we? We're not going to experience it. We're not going to experience that power of God working. And that's a sad thing for me, or for you, isn't it, to do that? Because all of you, if you're not in some difficulty now, you will be. That's true. I mean, that's the world we live in. And we need the Word of God. Not just as we come to those times, but what is frequently found, and those who have been through dark times will tell you this. That it is in those times of great difficulty, when they come upon us, that the Word of God, which is already in our minds, is brought to us by the Holy Spirit. He brings it to our minds at that time. And God is a light to us. What we find then, as we move on, is David says that God provides for every need in deliverance. And it's very physical terms, isn't it? If you look at, scan through verses 34 through to 37, he speaks about his feet being like the feet of a deer, stability, train his hands for war, given a shield, set on a wide place. And David says, God has provided, God did provide, God will provide all that I need to be delivered, all that I need to stand strong against the enemies that are against me. Friends, that is true for us today. Because we have the whole armour of God. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the readiness given by the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the gift, I would say, included in the armour of God, of prayer at all times in the Spirit. So we have, God has provided all that we need, necessary. Everything that we need, whatever we need. The same God who David looked to, the same God who the patriarchs looked to, is the same God we speak to today. We want wisdom for a situation. I want wisdom. How should I think about it? These things, what have been said, these actions that are happening, I want wisdom. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. I'm anxious about a situation. I've got anxiety. God is the source of peace. He'll deliver us from anxiety. His word tells us that. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, God has promised that he will do that. God has promised that he will do that. Let us approach with confidence that God who gives us that promise, so that we can sing of the deliverance from these things in our lives, as we have done, as you have done in times gone by as well. David goes on in his language, doesn't he? And it's quite violent. Verses 38 to 46, we look at them and it makes us shirk a bit, doesn't it? I pursued my enemies. I crushed them down. I beat them as fine dust. Wow. Okay. That's quite striking, isn't it? Really? They were the enemies that stood against David. Our enemies aren't physical like that. But we are called to quite extreme language in the Bible ourselves. We are called ourselves by God's grace to put to death the deeds of the flesh. Mortify, the authorised has it, doesn't it? The deeds of the flesh. Put to death, Colossians 3:5, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire. You see them arising, don't be light on them. Put them to death, the word of God says. And God enables us to do that. So we can say, yes, we have been delivered from any immorality, from any impurity. Oh, that we would do that. Oh, that we would do that. And so finally, when these things happen in our lives, we can then praise God for his great deliverance, as David does in that final section. For this I will praise you, O Lord. He had experienced the deliverance of God. And as we come to this last section, in verse 50, there is a verse there. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. And you're thinking you've heard that before, and actually many of you are thinking, well, I actually know where that is. It's in Romans 15, isn't it? Paul quotes it in Romans chapter 15, verse 9. He attributes it directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says there, as we draw to a close, Paul says that Psalm 18, this part which we have in 2 Samuel 22, is also with regard to great David's son, the one who is delivered from death and the one who ultimately will draw all nations to himself. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations and sing praises to your name. David knew what it was for kings and foreigners to come to him from nations outside of Israel. And Paul says, there is a future fulfillment for this, for our Lord Jesus Christ, that he will be praised among all nations for the great deliverance, the great salvation that he has provided. And so I take it that is why in verse 51 we see there great salvation. He speaks about God. Great salvation he brings to his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. But our God is a saving God. A God who's delivered us, saved us from the penalty of our sin. And if he has done that, then he will. There must be this saving from sin in our lives right now. It must happen. Because salvation is one big entity, past, present, and future. And we can stand, as we do on this side of the cross, and say this: in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. David could sing a song about God's deliverance. I trust we all can tonight. Shall we pray? Father, we give thanks indeed for the song of David, a song that teaches us about your great deliverance and the great praise that should come to you. And help all of us, Lord, to apply the principles that we have learnt tonight into our own individual lives. That we would not just have knowledge about you, but truly you would be to us my God, my Saviour, my stronghold, my refuge. And we could say that because we have experienced and are experiencing the work, the saving work of God in our lives. We pray that for ourselves here, that we might bring honour and glory to you, if we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.